Welcome to the Freud's Angels podcast, where two highly intuitive women dig into everyday problems using our connection to the divine, psychology, and energy work.
We support you in your self-awareness, growth, and aid you in your shadow work. Now we're your hosts.
I'm Vanessa.
And I'm Grace. Let's get into the show. Hey, angels. Welcome to episode 171 of the Freud's Angels podcast. I appreciate y'all being patient because I was not well. I'm still not well, as you can tell, but I don't know that I can miss 2 weeks of recording and being with Vanessa because that's a lot.
Well, you know what? I don't think anybody can tell. I can tell because I can see you, but you sound very good.
I'm so nasally, right? My sinuses are so full and my throat is scratchy. But I will try not to cough. And if I do, I'll mute myself.
Yeah. So any awkward silences that I can't fill. It will be because I'm panicked while she's coughing.
All of a sudden you hear silence. It's not the end of the podcast. It just means I went mute and Vanessa's like, what the fuck?
Oh no. Sometimes I flow, sometimes I panic and we see what happens.
Oh my gosh. Y'all, I can't tell you how excited I am. I have to tell you guys this because I think this really excites me. So y'all know I'm going on vacation back to the East Coast, to Charlotte, to North Carolina. I'm going to stay in South Carolina because my friend that's meeting me there, her brother lives in Myrtle Beach. And so I'll be staying there. So one of the things we were thinking about doing is, because Miss Vanessa lives in the South as well, we were thinking about doing a podcast, live on set podcast, where we're both in the same room and y'all are not suffering through this vocal stuff, because I love Vanessa's new setup and her microphone, but I have been plagued with like just not knowing, and that I don't want to buy things because if I'm moving, I don't want to carry more stuff. And so so that's where I'm at. But friends. So hopefully that episode is what will come out I return on the 3rd, so it'll be the 5th. So the week of the 5th is that episode. So please, if you come for any episode of this podcast, come for that one. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be really weird to be there. We might have a special guest. I haven't asked her permission yet, but we might have a special guest. It's really cool. She's a really great person. So make sure you come back at least on June 5th, but please come back every week because we love you and we want to share what we know with you. And you help us see, and this is going to be an aside other than what we're talking about, but
no way. Asides, we don't ever do that.
Tangents? No, not us. So one of the things I will say is that you have every right to do and listen and create your digital environment the way you want to. But if you want to support people, right? If you want to support the people you care about, even if you don't listen, even if you don't do things, is when people interact with social media, what happens is they in the algorithm become relevant. And so even if you're like, I don't have time to listen, or that subject isn't about me, or I don't, that's fine. I'm not saying you have to. But if you see our posts come up on your feed, hit a like, you know, comment something, send us a heart, love us something, interact in some way, not because you need to do anything, but because it helps us reach more people. Yeah. And the numbers to us don't matter as much, but the more that people that we can share our message, our knowledge, our wisdom to, the more love and good vibes we can spread into the world, the more other people will feel supported and will feel supported. So even not just us, if you have friends who are entrepreneurs and are trying to make their lives at their business or whatever, or they're trying to create content, please interact with their stuff, because man, I tell you what, it makes such a difference. I kid you not. I experienced this when an Instagram class I took, right? We had a contest to see how many likes and how many comments like your post could make if you posted whatever. So I posted and I won, but because of that post, I all of a sudden saw an influx of people interacting with my other posts. Mm-hmm. So because of one post. Mm-hmm. So that's how you help people become relevant in the social media world. Not saying you have to, but just please consider it. Yeah. Any type of interaction with a post is helping the people you care about and helping, you know, how much they're reaching into the world. And it, you know, people are like, well, I don't have the money to buy the stuff they're selling. Fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But taking 10 seconds to double tap a photo, a reel, a whatever, of people you care about that are in business helps them sometimes more than buying something from them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does, it takes like 2 seconds. I mean, I feel like I do it, I love to do it like when I can, like when I'm scroll, I just am like, everybody gets one, right? Like, because I want everybody to get happy and like, I want the algorithm to love everybody, you know, because it's, you're 100% right. Like, people get lost. And especially a lot of entrepreneurs that are using, you know, social media really rely on visual, you know, vision. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, but usually my crystal dealers, but like, you know, where I see a post and I'm like, I missed out on it, right? Because it didn't show up in my freaking feed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or I go to their page and I look like on purpose because I haven't seen anything for a while. And like, you can tell that they haven't been in the algorithm, and that's why. And it's like, all it takes is just to like it so that they can show up in, you know, like you said, like kind of be relevant so that they'll be visible. I mean, I do it with my people too, because I want to see them in my feed. So I'm like, well, I got to interact, right? Like, even if it's something I don't even understand, I'm like, because I need to see more of you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why that came up, but just, we appreciate you and anything that you do that has to do with us interacting or whatever, we do appreciate you. And, you know, just a way of, because I know I do that. Because sometimes I'm like, I want to purposefully use my money in a way that's like in where I'm at in a more intentional way. And I don't have sometimes discretionary income to support my loved ones or my friends. But I can do that for them, or share it on my story or whatever that is. Like, I can do that for them. I can give them exposure rather than giving them money. And me just giving them money sometimes is not the best. I need to give them exposure so that they can, many people can see it.
And, yeah. I mean, listen, sometimes I don't even see the Freud's Angels in my own feed.
Yeah.
I'm half of Freud's Angels and I don't see the post unless I remember to go look for the post.
Yeah,
100%. It's nuts. But it is. Listen, you know what? Like, I feel like it does a little bit. It's weird. Cause I'm like, everything connects, but I feel like that a little bit connects to what it is that we're going to talk about today, because it is about like network intersection, like, you know, just kind of belief systems and support and like I feel like there is a connection in there.
Okay. Well, Vanessa, since you've been a little like vague about it.
Well, yeah, like you could tell I started to go like all over the place with it. Well, and I loved that you brought up this topic, because I do feel like it's something that personally relevant for me, like as of last night, from what I didn't understand. But then also like kind of a lot of the things that I've been looking at recently in my life. And, you know, like you would kind of like presented as like miraculous healings, like, and miracles, basically miracles in life. And the reason why I felt like it connected is because I've, you know, constantly talked about how my social media does nothing for me other than like hanging out with people, you know what I mean? Like, and every now and then I'm giving, but I feel like most of the people that I'm interacting with are people I know, you know. It's almost like my business social media is almost the same as my personal social media. It's a lot of the same people. It's just different parts of my life that I'm sharing for different reasons. And I've always said like, I never get any clients from it, so who cares? And then the last couple of weeks, I just randomly got a couple of clients from social media. I've been doing this for a bunch of years, never had it. And it feels like, I mean, that's when we talk about miracles, we're not thinking about things like that, but it feels kind of like that, you know, just being like, I don't know how that happened. I don't know if it was like something that you were talking about, an interaction that somebody else had, and then it brought something to me that I didn't think was possible, right? And so, like, it's kind of that whole, like, where's your belief system at? Because if your belief system's not in the right place, you're probably not going to call in the miracles. You're probably not going to call in, you know, these things that feel wild and beyond your imagination. So I love this topic. I need to talk about this topic. I feel like this is a good one.
Yeah.
This is a really good one.
I do. I feel the same, because you can go so many different avenues into your life with this. Mm-hmm. I came to it from a health standpoint, a miraculous healing type of thing, but let's kind of take a moment and define what miracles are, right? There's two definitions that they're giving. The one is a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by nature, by natural or scientific laws, and is therefore considered the work of a divine agency. That's your typical, like, you know, God intervened type of miracles. But there's also that a definition that is a highly improbable or extraordinary event, development, or accomplishment that brings a very welcomed consequence. And, you know, and so there's those two definitions, and I think they both apply, right? Sure. I think there are miracles in a sense of, like, big godlike miracles, divine miracles, whether you subscribe to spirit, God, universe, goddess, whatever, you know, whatever flavor that you pray to, and or not, you know, I mean, as atheists and agnostics, you know, there you get miracles too, even if you don't recognize them as miracles. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Everybody has a choice. That's the great part about being a human. You get to choose. But, you know, there's those. And then there's the miracles that happen, those little tiny micro miracles we have in our lives, right? The things that happen in our lives that when we look back, we're like, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah. Like,
okay. And that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my gosh, like, there were so many micro miracles that kind of happen in our day-to-day life that we don't really see them as miracles. We either see mm-hmm. them as, oh, a manifest. Manifestations are miracles, friends. Just saying. That's my opinion. Uh-huh. Maybe not a popular
one. Oh, totally.
Opinion. Uh-huh. Because manifestation is like opening yourself up to something that you don't have to necessarily earn, in a way that, because I did this, I deserve it. Or you don't necessarily have to, give to get.
Yeah.
Like, it exists around you. It's your energy and vibrational field that matter and that dictate how you're pulling those miracles in, those manifestations in, right? One of the things I've been saying for the last, like, couple months that I keep getting and I keep hearing is manifesting is easy, and receiving it and accepting it is hard.
And maintaining it.
Yeah. That's where the human form has kind of gotten its, like, issue with manifestations.
Mm-hmm.
When we, because then I think too, sorry, I'm going to go all over the place because this talk about this is my jam, right? So this topic came up yesterday. I was teaching class, and I one of the downloads that came from spirit when somebody was talking was about miraculous healing, right? Mm-hmm. The idea of having an illness and having a miraculous healing. You know, mm-hmm. scientists call it's a remission. Yeah, okay, it's a remission, but how did you get to remission? That's kind of the thing. One of the things that came up in that conversation was we can get miraculous healings. We can receive them, but it's our belief about our worthiness or deservability of them that negates their effect in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if we have a miraculous healing, say for example, sorry guys, say for example, oh, I don't know. Use my liver. Okay. My liver is challenged right now. It's not because I drink. It's just because of the drugs and the RA and all that. Say, for example, tomorrow I had a miraculous healing. I asked spirit to heal my liver and to bring the energy in and to release all the things in my liver that's creating issues with it, right? And I get it. But then I go on the stage of disbelief, right? Oh, that's just, that test was wrong. Oh my gosh, that didn't happen. Like, that can't happen. That can't happen. Like, oh my gosh, that, there's no way. Retest the blood. I'm sure that it'll show that it's not healed, right? And that's how we negate those miracles that happen. Mm-hmm. When I was in Sedona, I came to the understanding, like I was ready to let go of the RA, right? The active disease of the RA. And I said to spirit, I understood its gift in my life. I understood its place on my path. I understand the blessing that it was in the moment, and I understood why it was important for me to experience it. Mm-hmm. And I was at a point where I feel like, okay, now that is like preventing me from living. Mm-hmm. It's the reason I'm using to not live. Okay. And so I said to spirit, and I was working with my mentor Phoenix at the time. And, you know, I'm part of the team leader of the Hollow Bone Journey. And I'm like, I'm ready to heal this. And I'm like, okay, spirit said, and I was like, yeah, maybe. And they said, but no, this is what you need to do. And they gave me like, you need to go through a series of like so many healings and go through the process, you know, whatever. And I understood it was because even though I asked to be healed with it, that I still had some resistance to its healing, right? I still had some resistance to it being in remission, to creating a spontaneous remission. I had resistance still. And so spirit was like, okay, well, I know that you feel you're ready. There's some things in your energy field and in your belief systems and your deservability and worthiness that we need to sort out in order for you to accept this. And so, and dude, there's, I say this because
I'm people who can't see you right now can't see that. Can't see it happen, but I can.
Suspicious person by nature, right? I'm suspicious, like totally suspicious. Every time I hear that, Instagram, don't be suspicious. Like,
and I hear Bailey Sarian, suspicious.
Like, yeah.
Suspicious.
So anyways, I digress. So when I was an active RA, I had the type that's called seropositive. It is one of the most aggressive forms of rheumatoid arthritis. That's why in less than 3 years I had needed joint replacements. It was bad. It was super bad. At the time of my doctor, he was like, you're very atypical in this. Is that because of the effects that have happened because of it? I'm like, yeah, that's me. Atypical. That's just how I am. And so he put me in a study because of how severe it was. And so we always tested our blood every 3 to 6 months. And, you know, we went on that. And I wouldn't be able to be secure in talking about this unless I had scientific evidence. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's why I'm like, yeah, no, science can sometimes show that it's true, but yet not maybe how it happened. But
yeah.
So I started my series of, I think it was 10 sessions. I got to like 3 or 4. And one day my doctor called me after I had my blood work done. And he's like, I really love to see you in my office. And I'm like, okay. You know, it's like every
being called the principal's office. Oh, right. This is probably not great.
And I'm like, oh no, what's happening? Right. And he sits me down and he goes, I had to bring you in because I have a question. And I wanted to run some more tests. And I'm like, okay, what's wrong? What's happening? He said, all of your rheumatoid factors all of a sudden went normal. And he's like, no idea why. And he's like, maybe it's a drug-induced remission? I don't know. And he's like, let me run some more tests. And so we did. We ran more tests and still the same. Everything came back fairly normal. There were some other things that were out of whack before I got RA that were still out of whack. But, you know, but the rheumatoid factors went normal. Everything went normal. And he was like, I'm going to put this as a drug-induced remission. He says, but I want to know what changed in this past year. And this was only by the fourth or fifth session I had that I was supposed to have. And I said, because I work with energy and I work with spirit and I'm working with, you know, healing it and realizing I don't need it in my life. And being a DO, he was more open to that than an MD would. The MD would probably call the men in the nets and
there's a beautiful white coat for you, ma'am.
Yes, exactly. Like totally delusional, right? And so I never attributed it to what I was doing. I stayed in remission. I was in remission. I was like, okay. But he was like, it's drug induced, so keep taking the maintenance drugs, which was fine because I had it down to every other month. Like I wasn't even doing it daily anymore. So when I moved here to the Pacific Northwest, you can't get into rheumatology for over a year, right? And you would think not having my medicine for an entire year would put me back into active rheumatoid because of the fact that I don't have the drugs to maintain the remission. I didn't. My factors did not change at all. So one of the things that my current rheumatologist said, he says, that's an actual true remission. If you haven't had meds in over a year, any type of meds, do with any type of suppression of your immune system, that means your RA is in remission. And if it was drug induced, not having the drug would cause it to not be in remission anymore.
1000%.
And I'm like, thank you. So.
Well, and the thing about that whole story, of course, this is how Vanessa is like, now it's down as a drug induced one and people don't know. Right. But this is why you're here to tell people, like, you know what I mean? Because this is when we talk about science and statistics and research and studies and all that kind of stuff. That's the information that they're getting is this is how many people went into drug induced remission.
Yeah.
And that's not the actual story.
Yeah.
That's part of the story.
One of the things that makes me understand the difference is before I went into remission with this, every time I get an infusion, it's every other month, right? I would be desperate for my next infusion. Mm-hmm. I would be sore. I would be achy. I would be fatigued. And I would get that. And I would be like, it would the next day, it would be like, oh my God, like everything changed. And so when I get them, and I get them less frequent now, but I do it because of the weather up here and because of there's a couple of other factors, other health issues that he's like, you know, that would help that one too. that I'm doing them, but I don't feel the same hit anymore. It's not helping. It's not helping, which is why we're extending like how long it is between. And having it more be a kind of semi-monthly, once a quarter type of thing. So when we have miraculous healing, if I would have had that without the preparation of the therapy I do, the emotional work, all the things that I did, because I knew my RA was emotion-based, like most of our illnesses are. I did the work to prepare for it, but I prepared for the possibility. I thought it was possible. And by the time I got to that place where I knew I was done, I understood that I was worthy and I deserved that miracle, that miraculous healing, right? I deserved it because I worked for it. So there's still a little bit of a thing there, but I felt like I was ready for it. I felt I understood what it was here for me. I allowed it to happen. Had that miraculous healing happened 5 years before, a couple years before, I would have been like, I'm not healed. Like, that's just, that's wrong. Like, I would have been like, nope. Because I still would have been in an emotional state to reject it because of, I was, you know, not in a great place. Mm-hmm. Can it happen? And can it happen without doing all the work? Can it happen? Like, just you're sick and you're asking for miraculous healing. Yeah, it can happen. Absolutely. 1000%. 1000% it can. But it's after it happens that matters and what you do with it and how you feel about it and its possibility and your deservability with it happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I feel like the very first time that I really I think, thought of this, because I've always, you know, watched people in my life, if they encountered a disease, that was it. You know what I mean? Like whatever that was it. And so that's kind of where my belief system was at. And I, you know, even growing up somewhat religious, it was kind of like, God doesn't save you from illness. You know what I mean? Like, it just really wasn't there. That, like, you heard about miracles, but they were like never explained of why the miracles were specific to those people, right? Like, it was just like, yeah, they're holy. And you're like, okay, how, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be holy. I think, I don't know, you know, like, but you're not allowed to be, you can't be, like, all right. So I guess I'm just a commoner. If I get a thing, I'm going to have a thing. But the first time that I remember hearing about something that was, you know, quote unquote, unexplained and miraculous, I was listening to an audiobook on one of my road trips. And it was, I think it was Eat Dirt by Dr. Axe. I don't remember what it was. Good information, Vanessa. Anyway, it was an audio book, and it was written by a doctor, and he was talking about his mom and his mom having cancer and reversing it with like food and energy and belief system and all that kind of stuff. And he went into a psychological kind of explanation part of it, of being like, you, if you can think yourself sick, you can think yourself well, right? Because it is true. We know we can think ourselves sick. We get that. We stress, which is an emotional response. And then we have heart attacks because of the stress of the emotional response. That is a physiological thing that happened because of your psychological state. Why wouldn't it work in the reverse? Right. And I remember driving and being like, why wouldn't it? You know, like, I was just like, how come nobody ever said this to me before? Probably that nobody ever said it to me before. I just couldn't hear it, right? Like, I couldn't believe it, because all I saw in my actual life was, you get this thing and then that's it, right? Like, and you know, that was my lived experience. I couldn't actually imagine that anything else could happen. And so I remember being like, that's freaking weird, you know, and being like, okay, but that doesn't happen very often, right? Like, that's just once. I mean, and like, your mom's your son's a doctor, of course, like, probably the whole story isn't there. I was super skeptical. I was like, there's no way that that's exactly what happened. Like, there was some drugs snuck in there or something that you don't want to tell us about. Stupid, right? Like, well, now that I look back, I'm like, wow, dude, like, that's, why would he write, like, why would he do that? You know, it's super easy to disprove that if that's what was happening. Somebody's gonna find out. There's always a teller out there that wants to tell the truth if you're lying, right? So I was like, okay, so let's say it's possible, whatever, you know, like, kind of skeptical. And then, I mean, y'all, you can go out there and find these stories anytime you want.
Yeah.
I've been like on a Joe Dispenza tear accidentally a lot of times. He's got them on his YouTube. Those are like the stories that he posts the most often, are stories of people who have healed themselves through their belief systems, through their energy, through, you know, their food, through whatever, you know what I mean? Of just kind of like being miracles. And I'm like, oh my God, this is one person, right, sharing all these stories. How many others are out there that have happened or are possible? Like, it really just blows wide open that belief system that you have of being like, no, it's only for special people. Like, that person doesn't look that special, right? Like, not to be judgmental, but like, they just look normal, right? Like, they just look like a regular person living a regular life, just like me, right? Like, okay, we're starting to get into it. So I think that there's, you know, there's a lot of reasons for why we believe that we believe. And I feel like we get to have that, you know, like, kind of that compassion for ourselves to be like, okay, you're not dumb. You're not, you know, like a blind sheep, or, you know, all of those things that will happen when you start to realize that these things are possible, and or you maybe talk shit on them. But like, more to be able to say, okay, then I'm open to all of that, right? Like all that that means. We're talking specifically, you know, or your story specifically was in the medical field. And I think a lot of other things are in the medical field, because those are the things we feel like are the most out of our control, right? Yep. Like those are the things that, like, once it happens, we're done. Like our body can't do anything else. And that's it, you know? But I think it's just a testament to all of how our belief systems work, right? Like when people get wealthy, why do they get wealthy over somebody else? Because they have a belief system that's different than the other person. They believe in the miracle. And so they have it, you know, it happens for them. They aren't like an anomaly in that they just randomly were dropped in the anointment oil, right? They allowed a belief system to happen. They allowed a psychological, spiritual connectivity that isn't blocked by the belief systems that are pushed on us and the training that's pushed on us and all of those things that are, in my mind, put there to control us. Yeah. I'm like, don't go into conspiracy. Don't do it.
Like, resist yourself, Vanessa.
But it's true. You know, it's true. If we heal ourselves, what happens to the medical industry?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm in my head talking about religion and how the Catholic Church used that idea that no mortal man is capable of helping others heal or helping whatever. And I just went on a tangent. Yeah,
Jesus could. He was a mortal man, but he's the only one.
Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing, too, is that, yeah, but he was killed. So the rest of us that could do it or wanted to do it. And I'm not talking like lay my hand on you and heal. I'm talking like assist you in the things that I have understanding and knowledge. Therapists are healers, man. They're just healers of a different part of you, right? All like massage therapists, acupuncturists, they're all healers, man. Mm-hmm. Because they help assist a system that's within you, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of those things too is that I think people resist it because it makes, like, they resist it in others because it makes them feel like they're not special enough to get it in their own. Like, if you see somebody else getting that miraculous healing of a loved one that has cancer, right? And you begged and you prayed and you wanted it so much in your life because your loved one was sick and they didn't get healed. Why did that person get healed and not my loved one? I think that's where there's a resistance to sometimes some of that type of the stuff happening. Mm-hmm. And somebody else's miraculous healing or excuse me, miracle is not negating your pain or your, like, it's not telling you that you're or your loved one's unworthy, right? Mm-hmm. I think that that's something that's really clear. I feel that while you may have begged and pleaded and prayed for America's healing for your loved one, I feel sometimes it's down to the person that we want the miracle for and their acceptability and their emotional and mental and energetic space. Like
100%.
We don't know that that's for their greater good. We're praying because we don't want to suffer at the loss of them. Right.
Absolutely.
It's right. Self. It's not to say that that's bad. No, I'm not saying like you're selfish. I'm saying we pray because we know the imminent grief and suffering we're going to have by the loss of a loved one. Mm-hmm. That's how we are. That's why people keep people on life support way longer than they ever wanted to be, is because they don't want to enter into that space of grief. They want to continue to have possibility of that person still being alive. Totally valid, totally understandable. But when we're praying for another person, and this is also connected to, you know, kind of my belief around when we heal another person, when I'm doing energy work on another person, right? Energy therapies. When I don't know what's for that person's greater good, right? We don't know that. And so when we do what we do, we always ask, you know, this, we're asking what the intention they're setting for this session, but we're also asking for their highest good, right? Because we don't know. We're mere mortals. Like, I don't know what spirit has planned for this person or what this person's connection to spirit is or connection to their life and their path. That's up to them in spirit and not me. And I'm just the conduit. I'm just the thing mm-hmm. both things plug into to reach each other, right? I'm like the telephone line, right? One picks up one and the other picks up the other. And then I'm just in between, right?
The operator.
Yeah.
For those who are not super old like us, who yes. know that the operator used to pull a plug out of one and put it in the other one to connect.
Totally. Yeah, I feel so old. So I understand that there's, you know, and sometimes we ask for miracles for others, but it's where the others, that person we're asking for, where they're at energetically, mentally, emotionally, and feel like they're deserving. You don't know what's going on internally with them. Maybe 100%. They feel they deserve where they're at, even if they don't want it. Sometimes there's a kind of an internal conversation. Like, I mean, you know, when I first got sick, like I was self-punishing by working myself to death. So when I first got sick, I was like, oh yeah, I deserve it. Mm-hmm. And there was no way I could have received a miraculous healing from anybody or anything.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I deserved it because of, you know, I had just left Canada. I just left my stepchildren. So I was in a space of like feeling guilty, even though they weren't my children and it wasn't my responsibility, but I felt guilty because I knew that I was a source of light in their life and that things would not be great when I left, but I had to because I was not okay. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when you're not okay in a space of being suicidal, you gotta go, right? You gotta go. So, I was in a space of just self-punishing. And so of course I felt like I deserved to have RA and feel sick and not be able to live and lose like everything that I had. I felt that was just well-deserved. It was my punishment.
Which is why we could have beamed every kind of healing at you and it wouldn't have worked. I mean, I think that that's the thing, like you hit the nail on the head that I think people probably have to hear, and probably in a bunch of different ways, that it's not up to us, that because it's a two-sided coin of what prayers and thoughts and energy do, right? Because we do know that they heal, right? We do know that because we've all had it happen where, you know, we're like, oh God, your prayers worked, whatever it was, right? Like if I ask for prayers because I need to, you know, not fumble this job interview, right? Like, and then I come after and I'm like, ah, your prayers worked, right? Like I received them, I asked for them, I wanted them and I believed in them. And so whatever energies were swirling around, it worked, right? Because there was a co-creation part of it. So many times we believe that we have the only influence, right? And that we're kind of like, well, they didn't want it either. And it's like, it's not about whether or not they wanted it. It's about what they believed about themselves, about their bodies, about their healing, about whatever, you know what I mean? Because like, if somebody doesn't believe that they can heal from something, it doesn't matter how much you tell them that they can heal from it. That energetic situation that's happening within them is the dictator, mm-hmm. right? Like of what's going to happen. A lot of times, like when I sit with, you know, bringing it out of, you know, even just that, like so many times people are like, oh my God, you know, like I couldn't have done this without you. And you're so this and you're so that. And I'm like, I'm thankful to be on that journey with you, but literally anything that I present to you or anything that I poke at with you or anything that I create with you, if you don't believe in it, it doesn't happen. Yep. It's you that is the deciding factor, because I can have all the knowledge in the world. I can have all the experience in the world. I can know the right answer for you, right? Like I can know it. If you don't want to believe it and you don't want to deal with it or have it or feel it, then it won't be the right answer for you. That's just the reality of it, right? Like, and so, you know, sometimes people have a real hard time accepting that. They're like, well, no, I couldn't have done it on my own. I'm like, it's not about you doing it on your own. Like, take away the on your own part of it. The on your own part of it isn't the important thing. The fact that you are doing it, you are allowing it to happen. You are allowing your belief system to change. You are allowing yourself to hear something and say, maybe that's also true. Let me see how I feel about it, whether or not I want to embody that. And if I want to embody it, I will be it. what? Right? Like, so many people are like, I can't believe I did that. And I'm like, I can, right? I always believed because I was outside of your body the whole time.
Yeah.
Right. I wasn't battling your belief system. You were. Right.
And that's 1,000% the reason why we seek others to help us heal, because we haven't been able to hold the space of possibility. And I mean, just the fact that people don't believe they can do it on their own is a testament to why they needed assistance, is because they don't believe they can. Right. It's when they believe they can that they don't need help. And so, you know, it's like, of course you're going to have somebody who believes in you. That's what healers are. We're the holders of the light that the person cannot see, and reflecting it back to them so that they can see it for themselves and believe in the light that exists within them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we all do it. It's like this beautiful, like, cycle of stuff. Like, I saw a post this morning that was and I shared it into my stories, that was like a person saying, you know, when my therapist tells me the same thing I told my clients, right? Like, and she's just kind of like, oh shit, you know. And it's like, yeah, right? Like, we hold the space and we hold the light, and somebody holds the light for us, and then the person that we held the light for goes and holds the light for somebody else. Like, that's so beautiful, right? Like, it's so beautiful to think of it that way, that it is, yes, on your own, but also not on your own. It's all connected, but you can access it whenever you want, through whomever you want, at any time, right? Like, that's the kind of thing that we're trying to present here, which is wild because it's opposite of everything that we've been taught. Like, you know, in terms of like obedience and, well, you know, again, conspiracy, like, what's convenient? Well, it's not convenient to have a bunch of people running around, you know, like,
being empowered, feeling like
empowered, yeah.
Like, I want you to suffer so you buy my shit.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like, it's, yeah, it's, sorry.
That's where we live. I mean, I do live in that space of knowing a lot of that to be true, but at the same time, it fuels my work because I feel like that's like, I feel like I'm breaking people free from it, right? Like, it's like when we joke about breaking people free from the matrix, I'm like, I legitimately want to do that every day. Every day when I sit down with people, I'm like, how do we free you from the prisons of your belief systems? Because they are your prisons.
Yep. And that's, I mean, that's why I'm still teaching the hollow bone journey, is because the freedom and the journey of watching someone go from feeling so disempowered in their life to all of a sudden, by even level two, to see them feel like they have the connection they need in order to live the life that they need or want. You know what I mean? Like, and then by level three, their wings are huge and they're just ready to own what they own. And, you know, it's not to say that the healing journey doesn't stop. It keeps going. It keeps going. But there's a certain belief that it's possible, right? People have to kind of believe that it's possible to heal. And and it's like, I think it's, you know, I see people like Vanessa and doing what she does, and people, what I do, and the people and other people in my life and the other healers and whatever flavor they're in. It's like, they're just like helping you ride without the training wheels until you're ready to kind of go on your own. It's like, here, let me hold you in this space while you're running through life. Like, let me hold you here, keep you safe, and give you the space to discover the possibilities, and then letting you go and letting you take off into whatever direction you're going.
Yeah. I love to use that analogy because I totally used it the other day in the session with somebody, because they came back and they were like, you are not going to believe what I did. And I was like, well, I mean, I am, but tell me. Right. And like, it was kind of that same thing. And I was like, I literally said that. I said, that is exactly what I do. I have you believe that I'm holding the bike the whole time, and you'll never know when I let go until you by that time, you're already run on your own. Right. So then we have to go, well, you can do it. Right. Like, and you did do it. And you know what I mean? And it's that whole thought of like, I thought it was you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, a long time ago, I stopped pushing you on that. I planted a seed. You watered it, you thought about it, you did all of that kind of stuff. You thought I was holding you the whole time, but I wasn't holding you the whole time. I let go. I totally mm-hmm. let go, and I believed in you, and I stopped, you know what I mean? And they're like, well, that's weird. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I feel like if I told you ahead of time, you wouldn't trust me. Right. And so it's just like with riding a bike. If you've ever taught a kid how to ride a bike, they don't trust you. If you're like, I'm going to let go. They're like, I'm not getting on the bike then. Like, that's just how that's going to go. Right. But if I'm like, oh no, I'm here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to guide you and I'm going to give you ideas and I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I am going to do that. But at some point I'm going to back off on that and we're going to see what you have.
Yeah.
And eventually you'll realize that you're doing it.
Yep. 1,000%. 1,000%. Awesome. I just in class yesterday, like so many of the people in it, like they're talking about the new things that they're doing or what they're achieving and where they're going and what they're, you know, and I'm just like, I'm so like proud of them for believing in themselves and that mm-hmm. it was the journey we took to have them believe in that. Yeah. And whatever, where they're at, like there's different aspects of life. And, you know, I think, you know, going back to the idea of miracles and miraculous healing, when we believe it's possible, we're more inclined to accept them. Sure. We're more inclined to accept the little ones and the big ones and the ones, I mean, I'm telling you, friends, there was no way. So many miracles have happened in my life in a ways that I never saw them before. And the way I never saw life before. I have done so many things since 2015 based on the belief and the acceptance of all the things I could manifest and spirit would bring to me. No, no kidding. Like moving up here without a place to live, without a job, me turning down all the job offers that happened because I knew this one job was going to happen without even knowing that I knew that it was going to happen. But I just kept hearing, no, wait for that job. That job's coming. And I was like running out of money. I was like almost out. And like, I kept hearing, no, wait, don't accept it. Wait, wait, wait. And I was like, okay. I'm like, please. But I believed it was possible, right? I believed it. And in my heart, I knew it. Like I knew that it was possible. And because of that, I was able to just wait and allow the miracle to happen when it happens. It's the same way, I think, you know, and back to something you said, and I wanted to say something, you know, it's the idea of people's mental and energetic state when they need or people are praying for a miracle for them. Like, part of me felt I deserved the RA, but I didn't want it. Mm-hmm. So people cannot want it, but still mm-hmm. internally feel like they deserve it. Like I didn't want it, but mm-hmm. I felt like there was a deserving thing there. So just
an acceptance, right? Like they didn't want to have cancer, but they have accepted that there's nothing that can be done about it. You can throw all the prayers at that person.
Yeah,
possible. That's it. That's where their belief system's at. And again, like, I'm not saying that like everybody in the whole world is making themselves die of their diseases by not believing. Right. But I'm just saying, like, on the whole, when we watch some of these quote unquote miracles happen, that's one of the factors that exists that doesn't exist in somebody that doesn't have the miracle happen. They really believe in it. They really believe and put themselves in there, and they will be diligent because they're like, no, that's how it goes.
Yeah. I think it's partly too, is that when we receive a miracle of whatever kind it is, we're asked to be put the doubt about ourselves down, the mm-hmm. feelings that we have, the thoughts and the tapes and the self-recriminations, we're asked to be, please put that down. Mm-hmm. And in believing that this is here for you and that this is possible. But, you know, it's hard. It's hard to explain and quantify all of this in a way that people understand. There's going to be so many people that reject this idea that are like, you know, it's BS, whatever. That's all.
Go watch the for if you are listening right now and you're one of those people, go watch the videos. Because I'm sorry, after you get 20 deep, you're like, there's no way that there's 20 actors this great.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I get it. I mean, I do get it because I was one of those people, right? Like, but again, I feel like at some point you're challenging where you're like, you know, which thing that I was taught is right, right? Because that's exactly what happens, is that it comes up against the idea of like, well, why do I believe that? Somebody told me to believe that too. Why am I holding on to something that somebody else told me to believe and not listening to something else that somebody else is telling me to believe? What's up with that? Like, why is the door shut now that, you know, like, you taught me that this is how disease works. And so that must be the only possible way. I will not ever listen to anybody else telling me the disease works differently. Now, when I say it out loud like that, how silly does that sound, right? That actually negates science, even when you think about it. There are still people out there that don't get the neuroplasticity thing, even though it's literally scientific at this point. It's no longer a hypothesis of like, oh, maybe we can change. Maybe if we change our thoughts, then we can change our brains. Like, no, we can. We've seen it happen. Still people out there like, I don't know. Like, Lord in heaven. How long are you going to hold on to that one belief that somebody else implanted in you as well before you go, maybe I can see what this seed brings. I'll throw it away if I don't like it.
Well, I mean, come on. If you believe, you're farther along than you would be if you didn't believe and didn't receive it. Like if you believe and you believe you're worthy and deserving of them and you get one, you're better off than you would be if you just rejected everything.
100%. Yes.
Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Now, believing in miracles doesn't make you delusional. No. What it does is it makes you understand that you can invite them in. You don't necessarily have to wait for God to anoint you or your system of belief to anoint you with the miracle. You don't have to wait. It's the idea of, you know, when we talk about co-creation, you know, co-creation, we can co-create our own miracles. That's what manifesting is. Mm-hmm. It's co-creating miracles of things that, you know, are out of the realm of possibility in your logical mind, but your heart knows it's possible. Those are the miracles, the minor micro miracles that we exist in every day. Mm-hmm. But we think that believing in them and believing that we can do that is like selfish, egotistical. There's a thing, and it's not, because everybody has the power to do it.
God, it's that belief system, right? Like, as you say it out loud, I'm like, I was taught that. Yeah. I was literally taught that. There's no way that at 2 years old, I knew that, or that 2 years old, like, I was taught that. So when I thought everything was possible and somebody told me it wasn't, I trusted them and I believed them, and that's all that happened.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Dang.
I know.
It hurts. But it does. The good news being that we can change it. Right. Yeah. I feel like I say that in sessions a lot. Like, I know that really sucks. The good news is that now that we know about it, let's work. Let's do some work.
So, you know, think of something in your heart that y'all, you know, want to manifest. What's your micro manifestation this week? You know, think about it. And rather than in your space of feeling undeserving or unworthy of it, go into it with the idea of I'm worthy and I deserve it. And go into it with that energy and think about a micro miracle you want to co-create with spirit or the universe or God or goddess or whomever you pray to, and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And if you find your little doubts creeping in and telling you it's not possible, say, no, we're deserving and we're worthy of it. We don't have to earn it. Mm-hmm. So just have that little piece in the back of your mind and just let that seed sit and grow and let it grow and see what happens. Do you find that the miracle that you wanted didn't happen? Why didn't it happen? Was there a disbelief in the possibility of it? Were you feeling like, oh yeah, that's not going to ever happen to me? Was there that type of conversation? Observe what your feelings are around certain things and then step into the possibility.
Amen.
Shit can happen, man. I'm sorry, but
happens all the time. It really does. Mm-hmm.
I'm the last person that I felt when I moved west that a belief in my financial situations and my abilities and all the things and all the self-doubt I had, when I decided to make that move that one time, I believed in everything I did when I moved west that first time. I believed in all of it. I believed that I was going to get a job. I believed I was going to find a place to live. I've done this twice now. I believed in myself and in my ability to take care of myself. I believed in it. I wasn't like, oh my God, what's going to happen? No, I believed in it. Mm-hmm. And it happened. I had a job in 2 weeks. I had my perfect apartment in, well, it took a month, but I found it, right? It was available. It was affordable. It was whatever. Like, I believed it was possible. And it did. And it was. And, you know, even moving here in the space of like COVID and the trauma of quarantine and all the things I was feeling, like I believed I could do it. And I did. I know many of you know who have listened to us this for a long time. When I applied to where I live now, the place I wanted to live, they rejected my application and said, they scaled my desirability as a tenant from 0 to 10, 10 being the most desirable. Mine was a 0. And now I live here.
Yeah.
And I have since I got, like, since what, it was a month and 2 months after I got here, I live here now. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to pay any more than anybody else did. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to come up with extra money or deposits. I didn't just happen because I believe it was going to happen. And, you know, and talking about minor miracles, y'all know that I'm considering like going back east, right? Y'all know that I've been talking about it a lot of times because that's how I process shit on the podcast. You know, it's how I process my life. It's like, this is like my third place of therapy.
Yeah.
And yesterday, the day before, I had a conversation with someone that gave me another piece of information. And my energy went from vacillating on whether it's the right move or whether I'm going to be able to find a place or whether it's the right thing or what should I do, to this really deep understanding and surety that yes, it is the right thing. Yes, it is something I'm going to do. Yes, there's details that I'm not sure of right now, but I believe and I understand. Like, I moved from the vacillating between no, yes, no, yes. And I moved into this place of just yes. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, and now that I know that, I also know and have every ounce of belief in myself and in the possibility of finding the perfect place to live, finding like my community and friends and being in the community, having it be easy. I'm calling in like certain aspects of what it is. Like, these are my like non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. And these are my negotiables. Like,
yeah,
I'm like really intentionally co-creating with spirit and saying, mm-hmm. Hey, these are the things I want that I have to have. And the whole move, I'm like, dude, I'm bringing in ease and grace. This is what I want. I don't want to sacrifice again and have to sell all my stuff mm-hmm. for the sake of just packing my car and driving. I don't want to do that. And so
you did that before, not interested in doing it again. No judgment, no nothing, just not going to do that.
Yep. So it's just, I'm just saying is that, you know, when you're in the space of you're able to receive miracles, there's a difference. Mm-hmm. And so I just invite you to try. What are the one things you know can happen? Where, you know, or try it even if you don't know that it can happen, and see where the deservability and worthiness or belief conversation comes in, to know where you need to do some work in order to be able to receive and see all the miracles in your life. And I guarantee they happen regardless of whether you believe or not. So
eventually, anyways. Absolutely, they do.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm getting really like intent and serious about this because I want miracles for all of you. I wish them for all of you.
I wish miracles happened enough that we didn't have to call them miracles.
Yeah.
We would just understand that this is just how it is.
This is how life is, and this is how it can be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's human experience, yeah. Unfortunately.
Maybe next incarnation.
Yeah. Like, that's another thing I'm writing a list of. Okay, guys, this is what I do not want in my next incarnation, and this is what I want.
Bring me back when miracles are just the way.
Yes. 100%. Oh, guys, we love you. I wish you miracles, but I wish you the belief in yourself and your worthiness and deservability of miracles, because you all deserve them. Absolutely. Regardless. So, yeah. Yeah. Look for the miracles in your week. Report back. Let us know.
Yeah.
If you guys need a reading or healing, I'm going to do a pop-up this month. Go check our Instagram. I will share it to Freud's Angels as well, but you know, if you need some guidance or you know somebody who's looking for guidance, please, you know, reach out. I'm going to post here in another week about what date it is. It's going to be a Friday or a Saturday. I'm not sure yet, but we love you guys. And if you need us, you know where to find us. Take care and we'll see you next week.
Yay, love y'all.
If you were triggered by anything said in this podcast, please dial 911 or go to your local emergency room.
To more deeply understand your unique emotional reaction to today's podcast, I'd love for you to connect with me. You can find me at VanessaPerryCounselor@gmail.com or at www.VanessaPerry.net.
And if you wish to take your healing further through energy work or channeling angels or the highest level beings, please reach out to me, Grace, at graceevergreen.com or graceevergreen@outlook.com. And always remember, you are loved,
you are worthy,
and the world needs your light.